Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. What an honor to have you with us. I want to say hello to all of our great listeners out in Nevada on the Nevada Talk Radio Network. Hope you guys are doing great out there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Again, that's 844-747-8868. So, look, we've been telling you over the past, several weeks now, about efforts by Democrats to target former Trump staff members, individuals who worked in the administration, had a job in the White House, many of them now leaving to begin the next chapter of their lives, their professional careers. And there are a number of people, including Project Lincoln, which is a radical leftist group run by Republicans. You have AOC and the Squad, and they are compiling lists. And the whole point of this gathering of names is to make sure that these former Trump staffers never work again. They're blacklisting anybody who has ever worked in the Trump campaign. And one of those individuals we told you about yesterday, his name is Dawson Buchanan. He was a travel coordinator for President Trump's reelection campaign, and he got a pretty darn good job right after leaving the administration, only to discover that he had been fired. Well, on the Liberty University newsmaker line right now is Dawson Buchanan. Dawson, what an honor to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
All right, so I want you to take our listeners through what happened. First of all, tell us, what you did at the, for the president, and what that experience was like for you.
Right. So, joined the Trump campaign back in around October of 2019. First as a field staffer, and then actually ended up coming to HQ, based here around DC, in January of 2020. The main thing I did was work with the president's travel team and vice president, first family, and kind of handle their travel, their events, whether that be the finances of the operations team, the venues, the interns, kind of whatever it may be. I was sort of a catch-all, but played a fairly large role in the execution and planning of all events, from everything from the president's rallies to the smaller, more grassroots bus tours. And then I find myself post-campaign attempting, fresh out of the campaign, fresh out of college, wanting to find a new job, something new, something fun. And PJS, the company that I had just been terminated from, I worked closely with them on the campaign. They had a large contract with us, and that's where I came to know them. And so reach out to them post-campaign, wanting to get hired, find a new job. Started talking back in late December around the holidays. And then Tuesday was supposed to be my first day. And then I get a call Monday night saying that I have been terminated, won't even be able to start. And this is after they've sent me my work computer, set up my email, full-blown employee, and then they call and terminate me even before my first day. And got a call on Tuesday morning to give further explanation that it was because the Carolina Hurricanes, which is who the client I was detailed to, and the explanation I was given was that the Hurricanes had called PJS and told them to either fire me or they would cancel the contract. And so it's really pressure by the sports industry, which is ever more liberal. And so PJS did, to spare themselves and to keep the contract, let me go and terminated me. And then kind of since then, this has just grown support, fallen victim cancel culture is both good and bad, because I feel like if this has happened, it means I did something right. It means I stood up. And so that's kind of my story, and it's just been gaining momentum and being able to share that platform and, give other conservative voices something to stand on is kind of what I'm fighting for now.
Well, Dawson, look, and there's a lot to unravel, and I've got a lot of questions for you, but I have to tell you, first of all, thank you for your courage. Well, a lot of people would just they would go into hiding. They would, maybe renounce what they've done in the past, but you've, I wouldn't say stood your ground, but you did the right thing here. And what they did to you is absolutely appalling. Now, the company is called Private Jet Services, and they had a one of their clients, the Carolina Hurricanes, took issue with your political viewpoints. And this is simply unacceptable in the United States of America. Now, I want to get your reaction, because ESPN did a pretty sorry excuse of a hit job on you. And they quoted an executive at Private Jet Services. They said, Mr. Buchanan was never an employee of our company, ever at any time. The story was a complete fabrication. How do you respond to that?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for giving me a chance to respond, because ESPN didn't give me a chance before writing this article. Even though at the end of it, they said I denied to comment, even though they didn't give me a chance to. But look, I think it's weird that if I was an employee, why did they send my work computer? Why did they set up a work email? Why did we plan travel? Why did I get the hurricane schedule? All these different things. And yet they're saying that I wasn't an employee, which we all know is categorically false. And that's what I went on Fox News last night and said, too. And it's a shame that, you know, this is happening not only to me. I mean, this is happening everywhere. And then you have these companies, even though they might have worked for Trump and gotten money from the Trump campaign, they're now completely disavowing anything to have ever done with the president or the conservative movement. And so to ESPN, I say that's false. I say you are part of the problem if you're going to fall into the trap of cancel culture. I'm not saying that ESPN as a whole is bad. That's not what I'm saying. But this article is an example of how cancel culture can hurt someone and someone's livelihood, especially when it's spread on a national level.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty despicable here. Now, you mentioned they sent you a company computer. Did they ask for the computer back?
They have. Yep, they sent me back the return label and everything for it on Tuesday. It's in the mail on the way back to PJS. But I was actually able to, you know, send that documentation and stuff to some other folks. And so the proof is there. The evidence is there. And so for PJS to say that I wasn't even an employee whenever everything else says otherwise, it's rather insane, really. And I don't even know how they concluded that.
Well, they're trying to provide cover for themselves.
Right.
And I understand there was I was reading somewhere. Was there a conversation with an executive who said, "Hey, if you go after us, we're going to deny any of this ever happened"?
Yeah. So this whole story kind of blew up in two different ways. The first part was, after the initial conversation Tuesday morning, there wasn't really animosity towards PJS. It was more animosity towards the cancel culture movement, the sports industry, the entertainment industry. And so I just put out a statement on Twitter saying, you know, this has happened to me. I didn't mention PJS. I really didn't mention a whole lot, but it was just saying, you know, I've pretty much fallen victim to cancel culture. And later that day around 4 p.m., one of the executives called and said, we were going to deny everything you've said. Although they admitted that what I'm saying is true, they said they would deny and then said, you know, exploring legal action and kind of all this crippling stuff if I didn't take down the tweet. And so me being, you know, a young guy in D.C. that was just fired, like, what leverage did I think I had at the time, which wasn't a lot. And so they bullied me into taking down the original tweet. So I did. And then kind of the more I thought about it, you know, how many other people, both from the Trump world and just conservatives in general, are being bullied to take down things that they've said, to try to disavow people that they've previously associated with. And so the more I thought about that, the more I thought, that's not who I want to be. I don't want me to be one of those people that just hides in the shadows. And so I put out the full story, put out the full statement, and kind of that's the one that gained traction. And it's allowed me to share this on a larger platform.
Now, I'm just curious, did you take any, you know, photographs of, like, you know, screenshot your company email address, or, you know, take a picture of the laptop, any evidence to back up, you know, your claims?
Yep. So I have all the evidence, and I've sent it to some news outlets as well. That's kind of what got me on Fox last night and everything. And so the evidence is there. The proof is there. I think kind of what's happened is, like, these executives, ESPN and all of them, and I even sent it to ESPN last night, I guess they thought maybe I was a no one, and maybe I was at the time, and they thought that I was too small to do anything. But, you know, here I am making my voice heard and standing against cancel culture. And so it's just kind of absurd to think that everything they're saying is false and I have the evidence to prove it.
Well, you know, and when we get finished here, you know, I'd love for you to send that info over to us as well. And we're going to post, we're writing a story, and my national column is going to be about this. Dawson is pretty disgusting what they have done, but I've got what I hope to be good news for you, because, you know, this is not the end of your career at by any stretch. I think you're going to do very well. What are your plans now? Have you heard from anybody? Any job offers coming in?
Yeah, so the outpour of support from people has been phenomenal and completely unexpected, really. I've had a couple of people reach out, you know, saying, we love your story, we want to hear more, and kind of some job offers. But I'm really more looking, and I think after going through this, I'm being pushed more in the direction of activism and vocation, because I think it's important that conservatives feel empowered, and I hope that I'm now in a position to share my story and empathize with those people and say, look, I've, you know, was one of the people that had to walk through the minefields and kind of want to share my story. On the campaign, I was more of a behind the scenes person, was never really in the spotlight. So this is all completely foreign. And maybe I kind of want to go back behind the scenes.
Well, but, yeah, it can get a little weird out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you do it, Todd. I really don't, because yesterday was the longest day of my life. But yeah, I think I kind of want to just go back into one of those platforms, one of those movements, organizations, and kind of just work behind the scenes. On the campaign, we always joke that we were the kingmakers, not the kings. And I kind of think that's what I want to live by right now after going through all this.
Good. And Dawson, how old are you?
I'm only 20 years old.
20 years old.
Yeah, that's 20 years old. I graduated college at 19 from Liberty University, pushed myself. I've always been a hard worker, started working in the restaurant industry actually at the age of 14, was a busboy. Then now here I am.
All right. Well, look, you buried the lead there. You should have told us right out of the gate. You're a Liberty University guy. That says it all right there. All
right. It's a good university. They make good people.
It is. And you're a good person as well. Dawson, look, you've got my contact information. Anything we can do to help you, let us know. Of course, Shannon Bream on Fox News Channel, another Liberty alum, and yep. we were texting back and forth last night about your appearance. So, you know, she's a good friend to have as well. You're going to be okay, and you're right. You're right. I suspect there are many others just like you, and they need to know it's okay to speak up. It's okay to speak out, and we've got to put a stop to this cancel culture movement.
I agree, and Todd, people like you giving others platform. You're at the forefront of this as well, and I really do appreciate you being willing to take on cancel culture and the left in this way as well.
All right. We've got your back, Dawson, so don't let him get you down. All right. Dawson Buchanan, ladies and gentlemen, let's put Dawson on hold, and we're going to get that information. Folks, can you believe it? By the way, 20 years old? The kid's 20 years old. He's booking travel for the president and the vice president. I mean, wow. That tells us he's a good kid. He's a good kid. And it's not right. It's just not right. We're not talking about Sebastian Gorka. We're not talking about Todd Starnes. We can go out there. We're established in our careers. We're talking about a 20-year-old kid. A 20-year-old kid who, by the way, worked so hard and did such a great job for the Trump campaign. He was offered a full-time job for private jet services, handling, among other things, the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, we have a lot of listeners over in North Carolina, and I'm curious what the response is going to be. Honestly, there are two bad guys here. Number one, the private jet services, and number two, the Carolina Hurricanes. And I don't know about you, but I just have a hard time spending any money with people who try to cancel kids. And I know he's 20 years old, but he's a kid. And that's pretty despicable. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Maybe you've got a job offer for Dawson. You know what? We will forward those along because we got to get this kid a job. And he's a hard-working kid. What, 14 years old, bussing tables at the restaurant. Good for you. Clearly raised right. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
We'll be right back.
Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly.
Well, here comes my favorite part.
When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her
ring bell, that bell, Mother Freedom. Here it comes. All together now. Of the red, white, and blue. Ring that bell, Mother Freedom. You gotta love Toby Keith. You just know. All of Hollywood got triggered by that. And what are the Dixie Chicks? Oh, they don't go by Dixie anymore. Are they just the Chicks now? The Mexican Manchu wearing girls. They hated Toby Keith.
Oh, he's a patriot. He loves America, that evil man.
You know, the Chicks were just a bunch of man-haters. Mexican Manchu-wearing man-haters. That's who the Dixie Chicks were. You know, back in the day, Grace Baker, I forgot about this story. So years ago when the Chicks turned on George W. Bush. Now, you know, everybody, all the libs love George W. now. But,
oh, yeah.
But you know, they hated him. They hated him worse than Donald Trump back in the day. You were
really?
just a little grace back then. Yeah, just a smidge. The Chicks came after George Bush, and they were the only country music. I think that was the first country music group to ever go left,
really?
At least publicly.
Yeah, I was going to say publicly.
So you know what we did?
What?
We had a Ford F-150. We did this live on the talk show. Ford F-150. We had everybody bring in their Dixie Chick CDs, and you know what we did?
What?
We crushed those CDs live on the radio, and you could hear, it was great. You could hear the Ford F-150 crunching, you know, over the CDs were being run over.
Back when people listened to physical CDs.
Mm-hmm. That's how long ago it was, yes. That was a long time ago, Grace Baker, it was. So anyway, welcome back to the show. Toby Keith, by the way, getting honored by President Trump and literally triggering most of Hollywood. And it couldn't have happened to better people. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number here. That's 844-747-8868. Now coming word, Snapchat has permanently banned President Trump. I didn't even know the president was on Snapchat. I don't even know what to do on Snapchat. I have an account, but I don't know if I'm supposed to snap or chat. Or are you supposed to do it at the same time? I just do not know. Oh, by the way, you know the guy who was in the Capitol building waving the Confederate flag? Did you seen the pictures? Well, they finally arrested the guy and his son. His son's name is Hunter, and they're from Delaware. I'm not going to tell you what the daddy's name is. It's not Joe, or is it? No, I'm just glad he's not from like Alabama or Mississippi. You know, we just don't, you know, we don't need that kind of publicity. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Hope you guys are doing good today. You know what? I don't know. It kind of feels like Friday today. I don't know why. You know, Grace, I think it has something to do with the fact that it's like a beautiful day out there.
That might have something to do with it.
You know, we had talked about doing this years ago at Fox News Channel on like really nice weather days that we would just do the show outside.
See, that's what they did in college sometimes. They'd be like, oh, y'all want to have class outside? And then they'd never let us do it.
Really? Well, you know, I mean, I understand. It was difficult in New York because, you know, of the drive-bys and, you know, things of that
yeah,
nature.
Yeah, not very many trees around either, unless you go to Central Park.
Not many trees. That is true. Not many trees either. So, but here in Memphis, we have the same problem with the drive-bys. But,
unfortunately.
And I'm too cheap. I don't want to get us Kevlar, so. It is what it is. All right. Anyway, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. We have folks on hold. Hang tight. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, it's been a while. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year, Todd. Hope you're doing well.
You know, I am. We're persevering through the early days of 2021. Got to tell you, Jeremy, I'm ready to cash out, and just ask for a refund on this year. It's not looking good.
I hate that the year actually admits that the year 2021, W-O-N, in the way it sounds anyway, 2021. I don't know that that's going to work so well. Let's get to 2022.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, hey, look, regardless, you guys are still on the case, on the job, protecting religious liberty across the country. And I know you and I were talking last night. You sent me a story out of North Carolina regarding the Ten Commandments. What's going on?
Yeah, it looks like there's a school board down there in Cleveland County that would like to take advantage of a North Carolina law to instruct their students on sort of the development of the rule of law. Like, if there's ever been a time in our country or world's history that we could benefit from understanding the development of the rule of law and perhaps, you know, learn a thing or two by it, maybe today's that day. Well, among the things that they can display in doing that, I mean, there's a whole list of like 15 things that they can put out there, including the Justinian Code, if anybody knows what that actually is. It goes way back to the Byzantine Empire years ago, as well as the Declaration of Independence and declarations by the President and the Congress and things like that. Well, one of those happens to be also the Ten Commandments. And don't get ahead of me. You know where this is going. And it goes exactly there. Somebody writes in and says, well, look, if you're going to put up the Ten Commandments, you're going to be violating the Constitution by establishing a religion by this display. You can't do that. These kids are impressionable, and lo and behold, they might actually follow them and not curse or murder or things like that. Well, they sent the letter in, and we decided, you know what, we can't allow that to go unchallenged. So we sent our own letter to the County School Board of Education there saying, hey, it's perfectly constitutional to put these kinds of things out there. In fact, we'd encourage you to put all of them out there, the Magna Carta, the Mecklenburg Declaration, the Justinian Code, if you want, the Ten Commandments as well, and make sure that the students understand all these things, because all of them actually have religious content in them. And, oh, by the way, if you decide to single out the Ten Commandments just because it has religious content or association, the school board may be actually engaging in overt acts of hostility towards religion, and that's a problem as well, and we'd be glad to challenge that too. So hopefully the school board just takes our advice and puts together the display without any kind of problem, like they absolutely should do.
Well, it sounds like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we've covered these folks time and time again, a bunch of notorious atheists and agnostics from Wisconsin. I just don't understand. What exactly is the problem? What problem do they have with the Ten Commandments? Which commandment seems to trigger them the most?
I think all of them, for some reason, and at least that's how they kind of package the whole deal together, that this is some sort of establishment of religion that impressionable young minds might actually think is problematic, or the state of North Carolina has officially endorsed religion and required everybody in their jurisdiction to now, bend the knee to whomever was that wrote the Ten Commandments. I guess that's their thinking. At least that's how they stated it in their letter to the school board here. But that's ridiculous. They're basically saying, just because something is religious or has religious content or an association with religion, it is not welcomed within any state entity or on state or public property. The thing of it is, Todd, as you know, we've talked about this before, that a couple of years ago, we took a case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. And that case had to do with a giant 40-foot cross sitting on public property. And the argument by FFRF and others was the exact same argument here. That's an establishment of religion. It's a cross, don't you know? That's an insult to the entire country and blah, 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 blah. Well, the Supreme Court begged to differ. And they said that, look, number one, religious symbols in public is part of our tradition in this country. In fact, the court didn't have far to look. They just looked on the other side of their bench, where up on the wall they actually have Moses holding a copy of the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court chamber. So that's clearly not a real big deal. And then they went on to say, look, if we were to tear this monument down, then unleash governments across the country to go do the same thing in their neck of the woods, well, that would unleash this campaign to obliterate religion from the public square unlike we've ever seen in this country before until maybe recently. And that's something that is not a neutral act, they say. That is clearly overt hostility towards religion of the kind that the Constitution absolutely abhors and forbids. And that's what we're saying here as well. It's perfectly acceptable to acknowledge documents and symbols and language that has religious content or association on public property, including on school property. Hey, you know, the law in North Carolina actually requires that they post the First Amendment along with that if they're going to display it. So why not have a big display of all these things that contribute to the idea of freedom and the rule of law?
All right. Good stuff. And Jeremy, again, I think a lot of this is just being educated and knowing what the Constitution says, what the law of the land says, and that's one of the reasons we're so thankful for the work you guys are doing over at First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, where can folks go to get more information about what you guys are up to?
Go to firstliberty.org. You can probably read that letter on our webpage, but there's all kinds of other things for you to learn about your First Amendment, your first freedom, religious liberty, and we hope that you don't just learn about it, but you actually put it into practice. That's why we exist at firstliberty.org.
All right, good stuff. Jeremy, good hearing from you. Happy New Year.
Likewise, my friend.
Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute, and we'll have that story up on our website later this afternoon. This news item, Macaulay Culkin, remember him from Home Alone? I liked Home Alone 1. Everything after that should have never have happened. I'm just telling you, I'm not a big fan of the sequels, except for, the Godfather. I think they got it right there, except for Godfather 3. I'm way off the mark now, so let me get back to Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin is supporting a brand new petition that has been launched to remove President Trump from Home Alone 2. So if you remember Home Alone 2, President Trump, there in the Plaza Hotel, which his wife, then Ivanka, was that Ivanka? Yeah, Ivanka was the wife, and then they had a daughter named Ivanka, too. Okay, it's very confusing. I think it's Eastern European thing. I don't know. Anyway, Mrs. Trump was running the Plaza Hotel at the time. And so anyway, there's a scene where Macaulay Culkin asked President Trump, then Donald, just regular citizen Trump, for directions. And he gives the directions, and that's that. Just a quick little cameo, just one of those cool little, New York things. And so now people are very upset. If you remember, was this a couple of months ago, I think, that the Canadians removed that scene from the movie without getting permission from anybody. And they're Canadians. I get it. They're lawless people. But now they officially want to remove the scene from the movie, period. And Macaulay Culkin, whose only claim to fame was this movie when he was a child. I mean, can you imagine the pinnacle of your career ends when you're what, 8? That's very sad. But there you go, part of the cancel culture movement. Also, Joe Biden, this is news impacting Inauguration Day. Many people speculated that the reason there were 20,000 military personnel in the Capitol was so that somebody would actually be there to hear Joe Biden's speech. But we have this information. The National Mall is going to be closed on Inauguration Day, and they're citing security concerns. So no one's going to be allowed on the mall. I don't think that's it. I just think they were afraid nobody was going to show up. I mean, Biden has maybe had a couple of hundred people at best at his, that's sad. But I think that's the real reason here. I don't think it has anything to do with safety. All right, let's get a couple of calls in before we have to take a break. Let's go to David, who is a veteran. David, thank you for serving our country. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make it clear that the military is not always treated perfect. I spent 6.5 years active duty, and we're not always treated with the greatest respect, even from our government. But these guys that are hanging out at the Capitol, they are great Americans, and we love them.
David, let me jump in here. I Maybe I was just not clear. So let me try to be as clear as I can be. Our concern, my concern, when I saw those troops and I saw the stories, and the story was that these troops were having to sleep, they were having to spend the night in the Capitol building, sleeping on these marble slab floors. That, to me, is appalling. As an American citizen, you want to take care of the National Guard. You want to take care of the military. And so we put a call in to find out why were they being forced to sleep on the floors as the newspapers were reporting. And, of course, we find out from the National Guard that they're not being forced to sleep. They were just resting. Somebody took pictures, and they misinterpreted what they saw. So for us, David,
right,
we're standing alongside. My whole thing was, well, if they don't have any place to stay, we're going to try to help them find a place to stay.
Right. And I understand that, Todd. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that as soldiers or as military people, we understand the job. And, you know, I spent 6.5 months in a GP medium in the middle of a desert. Now, I don't know if you know what a GP medium is, but this is nothing more than a canvas tent.
And David, and to that point, I have no doubt that I would be willing to wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich on this, that not a single soldier would have complained if that's where they had to sleep and spend the night. I have no doubt they would be just as thankful as anybody, and I get that. But the bigger problem here, David, is that the troops were being used for propaganda from the mainstream media. They want people to think that it is so dangerous in Washington, D.C. right now that they have to have thousands of National Guard troops actually camped out inside the building. That's the message they were trying to convey.
Right. And listen, I'm not disputing anything you said. What I am saying is, you know, make sure you give credit where credit's due, because these soldiers.
All right, David. All right, I'm going to stop you here. What have I said? What have I said that's been wrong?
No. I'm not saying you're wrong, Todd. Listen, I listen to you every day, man. I'm on board with you.
But you just said make sure that we do X, Y, and Z. What are we not doing that we should be doing?
I'm just. There's times that things are taken out of context, and I don't want.
Exactly. And David, David, you're exactly right. There are this photo was taken out of context. That's the point of that. So, David, right. We're on the same page here, David, but you got to work with me on this. Our military folks, David, thank you for the call, and we appreciate your service. But the reality is that our military, they're being used by the Democrats and the mainstream media to make it appear that things are unsafe in our nation's capital. That is not right, and we will call out people when that happens. All right, look, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News Channel had this to say about where we are in the country right now. And it's, look, we've been talking about this, and I'm one of the running jokes at Fox News Channel back in the day. We would always have the culture war stories, usually 2 or 3 days before they would end up on the TV. And so a lot of the TV producers would call my producers and say, hey, what are you guys working on? And we would, you know, initially, early on, we were like, we would tell them, we're like, oh, yeah, we've got this coming. And you know what they would do? This is a great story. Grace Baker, I am so far in the weeds right now, it is just not even funny.
I would say it's Friday, but it's Thursday.
No, it's so Thursday.
No excuse. No,
this involves Megyn Kelly. This was great.
Boy.
This is a true story. I like Megyn Kelly, but she had a problem with my politics.
Oh.
And the fact that I was a man.
What?
Yeah, and I'm serious. That's a story for another day. But anyway, she used to have me on her show quite a bit. They would call me and say, hey, can you come in and do X, Y, or Z? Normally, if there was some sort of a massive calamity where a loss of life was possible, you know, they would look down the list of Fox News staffers, and they're like, Starnes is expendable, so we can send Starnes out to the, you know.
What?
Yeah, seriously.
No mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Mainly because my legs didn't look good on that leg shot. You know what I'm talking about? When they go to commercial break and they have the woman with the beautiful legs.
Yeah.
Barely wearing any clothing. Now. Yeah, that's. Yeah. So, my legs were just not, you know, they're not TV
not
quality.
It.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was expendable. I get it. You know, everybody's got a role to play. So, what we're talking about. Oh, Megyn Kelly. So, anyway, one day, Megyn Kelly's producers, everybody was working on a specific story, and we had it. We had the exclusive. And they said, hey, can you help us out? We're always happy to help out the TV side. And so I said, yeah, sure. Here is the contact information for our source. Just be sure to credit us.
Mm.
Not only did they not credit us, they told my source not to go on my program.
What?
So they came back, and I pitched a fit. I was pretty fired up about that. And you know what? Megyn Kelly sent me a note back, an email back. She says, I don't know why you're complaining. This is how it's done.
What?
And I told her, I said, good to know the rules, darling.
And then I'm guessing she didn't get any more favors from you after that.
Nope, that was it. And after I called her darling, I didn't get invited back on the program. So.
Whoa.
And there was one blonde. You know, I hate to say this, but wow, I am so far in the weeds. You know, the blondes at Fox, kind of after a while, everybody starts looking alike. I'm just going to be honest with you.
You're not totally wrong.
So anyway, I was in the studio one day. It was me and Stuart Varney, and then there was another side desk where they were setting up for another segment. So it was me and Stuart Varney going at it on air. And I was talking about being pro-life, and all of a sudden, in the shadows, I hear a voice. I can't stay silent anymore. One of the blonde anchors starts, like, yelling at me, and people are like, what the hell's going on here? They're trying to flip on lights, and I'm trying to figure out, who is this woman? So I actually said... I said, listen, ma'am. I kept calling her ma'am because I couldn't remember her name. Or I remember her name now, but that didn't go over very well. All right, I'll finish my thought after the break.